The hardest part was figuring out where to go. I didn't want to explain military life before talking about what I needed. Safeguard Veterans connected me to people and resources that understood military life. That made taking the next step easier.
You served others. Let your community support you. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans. Any door, the right support.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Off Limits. Thanks for joining me tonight. We are going to talk about whatever is on your mind. If you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160. If you have something you want to debate with me about, this is the show to do it. This would have been a good show, actually, for me to actually promote, but I just did it kind of impromptu. I'm kind of in a debating mood. So I was in debate long ago in high school and college, and when I was planning to be an attorney or whatever, which was completely forever ago. But anyway, so I like to debate people and talk to people calmly, rationally about their beliefs that may be different than my own. And, you know, a lot of people think differently than I do, and I think a lot differently than a lot of other people. So it doesn't surprise me when I disagree with people, which is most of the time, unfortunately. So especially on BTR, where I run into people all the time who are, you know, vehemently opposed to what I personally believe or what I personally am. So if you want to talk to me about what you think about politics, religion, homosexuality, atheism, whatever is on your mind or you want to talk about, feel free. Whether you agree with me or not, you can call in. The number again is 323-843-6160, and I'm going to play some music till we get some calls. If we don't get calls, we're playing music all night. So I'll be back.
Dreams.
if you want to call in to debate me, the number is 323-843-6160. I guess everybody's too scared. I'll be back.
What's up? It's Pickles. Leave a message.
Hey, I'm calling you back. Ooh, she's been a bitch tonight.
And by bitch, I mean this rain. No cab, nowhere.
So I had to put on the wigs and the heels and the lashes and the ear and take the train to the club. And you know the MTA should stand for motherfuckers touching my ass.
Miracle, miracle. I fly with the stars in the skies. I am no longer trying to survive. I believe that life is a prize, but to live doesn't mean you're alive. Don't worry about me and who I fire. I get what I desire, it's my empire. And yes, I call a shot, I am the umpire. I sprinkle holy water upon the vampire. In this very moment, I'm king. In this very moment, I slay Goliath with a sling. This very moment, I bring, put it on everything. That I will retire with the ring, and I will retire with the crown. Yes, no, I'm not lucky, I'm blessed. Yes, clap for the heavyweight champ, me. But I couldn't do it all alone. We, Young Money raised me, grew up out in Paisley, Southside Jamaica, Queens, and it's crazy. Cause I'm still hood, Hollywood couldn't change me. Shout out to my haters, sorry that you couldn't faze me. Ain't being cocky, we just vindicated. Best believe that when we done, this moment will be syndicated. I don't know, this night just remind me of everything they deprived me of. Put your drinks up. It's a celebration every time we link up. We done did everything they could think of. Greatness is what we wanna brink of.
That I could have this moment for life. For life. For life. In this moment I just feel so alive. 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 That I could have this moment for life. For life.
What I tell them hoes, bow, bow, bow to me, drop down to your knees. Your money, the mafia, that's where the love sees. I'm in the Dominican, Big Papi Ortiz, doing target practice, all these bitches just aiming to please. Shout out to the CEO, 500 degrees. Shout out to the OVO, Red Wings and Fatigues. Ah, niggas wanna be friends, how coincidental? This supposed to be all year, we ain't get the memo. A young king, pay me a gold. 40 got a bunch of weed, he ain't even roll. These niggas be dropping songs, they ain't even cold. Weezy on top and that nigga ain't even home yet. Yeah, be very afraid. These other rappers getting bodied and carried away. Fuck it, me and Nicki Nick getting married today. And now you bitches that be hating can catch a bouquet. Ooh, yeah, you a star in my eyes. You and all them white girls, party of five. Are we drinking a little more? I can hardly decide. I can't believe we really made it. I'm partly surprised. I swear, damn, this one for the books, man. I swear this shit is as fun as it looks, man. I'm really trying to make it more than what it is. Cause everybody dies, but not everybody lives.
Have this moment for life, for life, for life. In this moment I just feel so alive, alive, alive. That I could have this moment for life, for life, for life. This is my moment. I have become alive. I wish that I could have this moment for life. For life. For life. Cause in this moment I just feel so alive. 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 I wish that I could have this moment for life.
back. If you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160. I was just on another show briefly while the music was playing to see what this crazy person on BTR says. It just astounds me how insane people are on here. I mean, seriously, it's really kind of weird and bizarre because there's so many fucking, especially at night on here, it's like full of bizarro people. I mean, the thing is, like the people here on after like midnight, you know, and that includes myself, obviously. I'm on at midnight, usually at midnight or 2 a.m. in the morning, Central Time usually. People here are just like, I don't know why I even come on this late. I should come on during the day or something, but I don't have time during the day because I actually run businesses. So it's kind of hard to do that. But I mean, I would fit in a lot better during the daytime than I do at night because night is full of the crazies, really, honestly. You've got the hackers, you've got the trolls, you've got the crazy BTR hosts who have no life and they can just sit here all night and all day talking on BTR, and this is their entire world. And then you have these characters on here that are just full of bullshit, and they don't really say anything. They just kind of talk at you. And I'm not talking about the people who are like abroad, like in England or London or whatever, other places, you know, that are on the same time we are, because they're actually in the morning there. But those shows are fine and cool, and there's some good shows like that. But the shows on late at night from the U.S. here on BTR, they're fucking nuts. I mean, you've got the marijuana. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's just fucking full of crazy fuckers. So anyway, it never fucking astounds me how fucking crazy people are. But I'm thinking maybe I'm going to try to put aside maybe my lunch every day. I'll come on and do my show during the day because I've never done my show during the day. I've always, except when I first started, I did it during the day, but it was on the weekends. So I'm thinking maybe I'm going to start doing it during the day next week. Like, you know, and maybe in the early in the morning or like 1 or 2 8 p.m. or something, and see if I kind of mesh better with the people at that time frame. Because the people at night are just fucked up, honestly, full of really crazy people who have – this is their entire life. I mean, really, it's their fucking entire life. And I don't feel that way about this thing. I do it when I'm bored. I do it when I have something to say. Sometimes I'll do it for half an hour, sometimes I'll do it for an hour, sometimes 2 hours, whatever. But I never really, you know, I don't take it seriously. And the people on, there's so many people on here. I mean, somebody actually told me, someone I used to talk to on here told me that I was their only friend and that I was the only person that they had in their life. And I felt bad for this person because they said that I was their only friend. She said, I'm her only friend. Of course, I don't know if that's even true, right? It could be true. It might not be true, whatever. But, I mean, that's what she told me. So, I don't know. It's just really strange to me that you know, someone you talked to for so long, when they would say that I was their only friend, and this is their entire life. Having a show on BTR is their entire life, and talking on BTR every night is their entire life. I mean, it's just kind of frightening to me. But, you know, I don't know. Most of BTR is just kind of full of fuckers. People I really just don't like. I mean, I'm always thinking, like, what it would be like if I met people, like, in person on BTR, and what they would be like. And half of people would not be as brash and abrasive as they are behind their screen when they're talking to me on Blog Talk Radio or behind their microphone, depending on if they have their own show or not. Most people would not be like that if they looked me in the eyes face to face. They wouldn't be able to do it. Most people don't have the guts. The good thing about me is I'm exactly who I am on air. I'm exactly the same off air as I am on air. So if you hate me on air, you're going to hate me in person. If you like me on air, you're going to love me in person. So for me, you know, I always think what it would be like to meet these people. And most of them are probably on meds, which is nothing wrong with being, you know, on meds, I guess. But I mean, like, probably antipsychotic drugs. Or if they're not, they half of them should be, certainly, because they certainly have some mental issues. And I certainly am not perfect myself, but I'm not, you know, a complete nut job. And I think there's a lot of them on here. So you really got to be careful of people on here. I mean, you're going to wake up one day, somebody's sitting over your face in your bed and trying to kill you or something because they don't like what you said on your show. I mean, people are fucked up, man. It's really, really stupid. But that's the way it goes on BTR. Anyway, if you want to debate me about something, you have something you want to talk to me about, you can call in. The number is 323-843-6160, and I'm happy to debate whatever's on your mind. And what is on my mind tonight, we'll talk about next. I'll be right back.
I'm
So today, or yesterday, actually, the CEO of Starbucks came out and at the – well, he didn't come out, but he came out at the shareholders meeting in support of gay marriage. And he's a very cool guy, actually. You should read his autobiography. It's called Put Your Heart Into It, I think, is what it's called. I have it. I think it's called Put Your Heart Into It. But anyway, Howard Schultz is essentially – he's the one that is responsible for – bringing Starbucks to the masses in this country, and he's an incredible guy and has an incredible vision and manifesto or whatever for Starbucks. And Starbucks is what it is because of him. But anyway, he came out today at the shareholders meeting for Starbucks, and a shareholder complained that the sales had dipped after the company announced that they supported gay marriage. And this was a quote, what he said. He says, quote, "If you feel respectfully that you can get a higher return than 38% you got last year, it's a free country. You can sell your shares of Starbucks and buy shares in another company. Thank you very much. Not every decision is an economic decision. The lens we use to make decisions is the lens of our people." So that's fucking awesome. And, you know, it's very rare that you'll find someone in his type of position, especially in surrounded by a bunch of conservative people generally, to stand up for, you know, a group of people who are not like himself. And he stood up for gay people because he believes in equality, and that's amazing and wonderful. And something as small as that is incredible to me. I mean, it may seem like a small thing to most people, especially if you're not gay, but for someone who is gay, you, when someone does that and they stand up for your right, even if you don't even know them, it is it's touching, and it makes you feel like there's hope and people out there who actually aren't fucking bigots. Well, because most people really, I mean, I'd say, I don't know, 30 to 45% of the country are fucking bigots in one way or the other. They're bigots against gay people. They're bigots against black people. They're bigots against women. I mean, Jews, whatever. There's always somebody bigoted against somebody for some reason or another. It's very rare you find people like myself or people like Schultz, who stand up for equality even when it doesn't even affect themselves. So, you know, I stand up for equality for everybody. I don't care, even if it doesn't affect me. I stand up for Jews. I mean, the rights of people's religious rights, even though I have no religion myself. I stand up for women's rights, even though I'm not a woman. I stand up for rights of everybody, the poor. I mean, I stand up for everybody, even if it doesn't necessarily affect me. And so I think it's important for people to do that. I mean, if you don't look out for people who are, quote unquote, less than you, or for some reason are viewed that way, then no one is going to do it. I mean, the majority, or at least the ruling population in any country or society, has to look out for its downtrodden or the people whom are not as equal or seen as equal in their society. So it's absolutely necessary to stand up when you see injustice or when you hear it. And I've always been that way. And that's why, I mean, I have some people don't like me. A lot of people don't like me. And I've said this before on my show, and I'm fine with that because I like myself a lot and I know who I am and I don't pretend to be somebody that I'm not. So if you don't like me, then you really don't like me, because I am really who I am. I'm just myself. And so when I stand up for people's rights, if I say something to somebody who says to me or says a bad joke about a particular group of people in my company, and I say, that's fucking, you know, disgusting, or that's wrong, or fuck you, or whatever, and it comes out that way, because it does make me angry. It makes me very angry. And, you know, it always has, because of who I am and how I was raised, and I'm very liberal-minded. So it is very, very difficult for me to ever – I never tolerate injustice or inequality in any sense. Never. Never, ever. I mean, literally, I can actually say that. And I bet very few people out there can. And the only way to change that is to, every time you witness an injustice or in our society – you have to stand up to it. That's the only way things are going to change for that group of people. And even if it's not going to benefit you yourself, to actually do the right thing sometimes is simply the better choice. I mean, sometimes you do things because it's the right thing, not because it's the easy thing. And a lot of times the right thing is not the easy thing. Most of the time, the right thing is not the easy thing to do. And so that is the true test, in my opinion, of character. Is if you do the right thing when it's the hardest, you know, when it's not easy, then you can say you have integrity. Then you can say you are, you know, someone with values and scruples. So very few people do that or look to themselves or call themselves to actually have that level of commitment to equality. I should have been an activist. I mean, not necessarily a gay activist. I mean, I could have been a gay activist too, but any type of activist, that something I believe in and I'm passionate about, because I really would have done well in that. But, I mean, there's not much money in doing that. And I also, even though it's not even about the money necessarily, I just also am not, how do I put this? I don't know. Although I'm political, I'm not really somebody who likes to be in the spotlight and, like, you know, I'm just not like that. It's important to me to kind of be behind the scenes more than it is to be in front of everybody. So even though I may be a good mouthpiece for activism for a particular group of people, I'm not really the guy to do it. I'm not really good at that kind of crap. So I'm good behind the scenes, and that's the way I contribute, is through money and through time and volunteering and speaking out on my show, my tiny little show, and writing articles for magazines and writing books and things like that. That's how I contribute. So even though not everybody can contribute as being an activist, there's always a way to contribute to society or to whatever cause you yourself believe in. Now, there's plenty of people out there that are opposed to equality for people who are gay or people who are women's equality even. I mean, there's even men still who do not believe that women should even be able to work. Am I even talking about old men? I'm talking about men like, you know, contemporaries of my own, like in their late 30s or their 40s or even 50s or something. I mean, men in that age group, there's still, I've run across them that think women should be in the kitchen barefoot pregnant and be home when they get home to serve them rather than actually, rather than actually be, hold people themselves. And I find that revolting. And, you know, it's obviously a remnant of somewhat of a outdated mode of thinking, obviously, traditional outmoded way of thinking from like the 1950s or whatever, or even before that. It is no longer relevant in this society to think that way. And it's not just about women. It's about gay people. It's about black people. It's about religion. You know, as I've said on my show before also, the entire world is, you know, we are becoming a global community. We're not really isolated the way we once were, you know, mostly due to the internet. And so, you know, businesses work together. People meet for love or whatever across the pond, you know, very easily and interact and friends and society in general just is becoming more global because the internet has connected us in the way it has. And just the way the world works today and cell phones and iPhones and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So these days we have, that kind of community. And so because we are more of a global world community now and not just some isolated country on the other side of the world from, you know, Europe and other civilized countries, we have to look at things from that perspective and through that lens. We have to realize that we now have to adjust our way of thinking. You know, America is not the best country in the world. I'm sorry, but it's not. America has some really wonderful things about it, but there are other places in the world that have, if you add up all the things that matter to people in terms of their lifestyle, in terms of the economy, in terms of education, in terms of health, all those things, the United States is not number one. Sorry, it just isn't. Can the United States be number one again? Sure. Can the United States, does it have the potential to be? Absolutely. Do we have a great democracy or democratic republic? Yes, but we are not the best place in the world to live. And just because we're the richest country in the world in terms of what people own and what people have or whatever, certainly doesn't make us the best. And people sometimes conflate the two and act as if one equates the other, that having so much money makes you better than people who are poorer than you. I mean, that's one of the problems with the United States of America is that Americans, that were raised, first of all, especially if you grew up in like in the 80s, like I did, under Reagan and his whole idiocy. But if you grew up under that kind of umbrella and the way that kind of zeitgeist was in terms of the United States anyway, at the time, you know, America was all about money and power and greed and obtaining things and consumerism and buying more and more and more and more and more. And so we actually used to make stuff in the United States. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, you would have shit that said, not shit, but you'd have stuff that said made in the USA on it. It would always, almost always be made in the USA, made in the USA, made in the USA. It was every on everything, my toys, everything, clothes. It was always made in the USA. I remember seeing that. And in some small way, it gave me a sense of pride, right, to be able to actually be part of a country that made so much stuff, okay? We actually did something. We actually exported a lot of merchandise, and we made a lot of money, or generally speaking, in those days. So we, even though we had a huge deficit because of Reagan, but that's another topic. But anyway, we were doing great. And as the 80s progressed and people began to outsource, in the 90s specifically, outsource things, instead outsource business, outsource the things that people in the United States were doing, you know, manufacturing jobs and even high-tech jobs and other types of like call centers, things like that. As they began to export those across the pond to, India, sorry, to India or to Europe even, or Africa, I mean, or to South America, whatever, Mexico, things were beginning to, you know, especially because of NAFTA, but things were beginning to become far more global, and people began to export because it was cheaper, because people in those other countries didn't make the kind of wages that we made here. They didn't make the kind of wages we had here, so they didn't have to be paid. They could be paid for pennies on the dollar compared to what they had to pay an American worker to do the same thing. No benefits or anything of that nature, which costs a lot. And so they had to just outsource it. And so in terms of a corporation, in terms of corporation's bottom line, it made plenty of sense, right? Because the corporation only gives a shit about its bottom line. That is literally the goal of any corporation, is to make money, is to make a profit. So the bottom line for them was, well, fuck, you know, we're not going to pay all these fucking wages or whatever, and we can get people to do the same work cheaper and faster probably, and not pay benefits or worry about all that stuff abroad. So that's what they did. But that happened in droves, and has happened in droves, and still happening today. And as a result of that, we were left in our country with an infrastructure that is, I mean, a business infrastructure, I mean, that is collapsing upon itself, because we no longer really export anything. I mean, we just don't really make anything anymore. We do, but I mean, not very little compared to what it was in the 80s and at our heyday. And so all of the wealth that we've created with those jobs before, is now that wealth is being created in other people's countries. And so no longer are we creating wealth for ourselves. We are creating wealth for India or Mexico or whatever. And these people, in China and these countries, people are becoming more and more like us. And so in terms of their financial well-being, their financial power, and they're beginning to consume more, things and want more things and more luxuries because they have more time now, because they're not working in sweatshops and stuff. They actually have time for a middle-class lifestyle. So they are now moving up, and they're wanting more and more and more and more, especially when it comes to China, where they're building more and more and more, and we cannot keep up with them because there's a billion people there. So, and not even to mention the issue of pollution, et cetera. So anyway, it is certainly a major issue, and hopefully this country will, change and adjust. But, you know, if it doesn't and doesn't soon, we're going to lose our great American story that Reagan and everybody else tried to sell to everybody as being such a wonderful country, because really, we aren't that great anymore. That's all I have to say. Have a good night. Thank you.
before. You look familiar. You wanna dance?
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. If you're a veteran or if you've got a family member or friend who served, I want to tell you about Safeguard Veterans. Sometimes the hardest part isn't asking for help, it's knowing where to turn. Safeguard Veterans connects veterans, families, and caregivers with local support and resources that understand military life. And when you're talking to people who understand those experiences, finding the right support can feel a whole lot easier. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans, any door. The right support.